Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right into it here this morning. Yeah, we've got some great guests joining us this hour of the show. We'll have a little bit of time to take your phone calls as well here coming up around 8:20, 8:30 this morning. And then for the 9 o'clock hour, phone lines are open for the entire 9 o'clock hour of the show. What about these Trump derangement syndrome seminars that were held across the state of Montana over the weekend? Of course, all of these left-wing activist groups were basically staged by these George Soros-affiliated groups. Some of these we know were paid activists showing up at the Capitol and elsewhere. The Montana Sentinel had a great write-up here. Darren Gobb, you guys know Darren Gobb. He's been on Fox News. He's been here on Montana Talks, a retired lieutenant colonel, but he's also the editor-in-chief of the Montana Sentinel. Darren, great to have you back on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Aaron. Thanks for having me on. Pleasure to join you.
You know, it's funny. I read the liberal media's reports of these Trump derangement rallies, and then I read your report, and it's funny because you show all the photos of all the crazy folks that were at these rallies. The liberal media tried to carefully craft and orchestrate what the imagery looked like coming out of these events.
They do, and that's part of the reason I think why myself and other people around the state, like Roy McKenzie with Western Montana News, go to these events. And it's not because we want to go give a toddler giving a temper tantrum any attention. But we also know that the legacy media, like the lead newspapers, is gonna paint a picture that's inaccurate. So we want people to see what this actually is, so they can make their own decisions about what happened. And that's really the point of the picture is a thousand words type of moment for everybody. I'm not gonna write a lot necessarily, but they should be able to see what happened, who was there, and judge for themselves what it means. And clearly, by the way, having been to a lot of these in Helena, I'm familiar with the faces. And there's a lot of folks there who are clearly not from this area.
Yeah, and these are some of the far left of the far left. I mean, Democrat Socialists of America were obviously there, the DSA. I mean, all the people with masks on. I don't know. They feel like the COVID mask is like the political statement still for some reason.
Yeah, it's a political statement, one. And second, it's a great way to hide your face so no one actually sees you. You know, I'm standing there right next to these people carrying Antifa signs and all this kind of stuff, and I'm like, okay. Of course, they're wearing a green hat, so you can tell they're fake because Antifa doesn't allow any color whatsoever. But there's pretenders, there's real organizations, and there's all points in between. But in the end, I would say what was also interesting was the average age was probably between late 60s to late 70s, and sadly, there were some children there but I refused to take or share pictures of them. But
it's interesting that you talk about the
social security gathering.
Yeah, is it all the old washed up left-wing Vietnam War protesters trying to have one more go of it, trying to live what they thought were their glory days, attacking our men and women during the Vietnam War? I wonder if that's what it really was. All right, hold that thought. More with Darren Gobb right after this.
It's April 3rd, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is World Party Day. Pretty self-explanatory. It originated from a book called Flight, a quantum fiction novel that, you guessed it, ends with a big party. Also on this day, the Unabomber was arrested in 1996. Ted Kaczynski, a mathematician with anarchist ideas, was responsible for killing three people and injuring more than 20 others with letter bombs between the late 70s and mid-90s. In 1984, the NCAA saw its first ever African-American coach winning the tournament, Coach John Thompson of Georgetown University. The cell phone became a reality in 1973. A Motorola engineer making the first handheld cellular phone call from 6th Avenue, New York City. He called a rival to say Motorola had created a portable functioning phone. In 1882, Bob Ford killed the American outlaw Jesse James by shooting him in the back. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public, the list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hands off what? That's the question everybody was asking, you know, in messages that we got here on Montana Talks and on social media. They're calling these staged protests that are funded by George Soros activist groups, they're calling them hands off protests. Hands off what? Your slush fund? You know, our money that you've been, you know, laundering into your left-wing organizations, I think it's pretty clear what they're actually rallying for. And it's everything the American people voted against back in November. Darren Gobb, you were at this rally in Helena, this left-wing rally. They drew about 700 people there. How would you describe what you saw and what their message was?
Well, yeah. I think the first message is that there was only about 700, despite reports of it being over 1,000. Some people have challenges counting. But the message partly was that it was very clearly well-organized. And they didn't necessarily have an accurate message about what they were complaining about, but you could see that there was a central organization. You could see that it had been well-funded. Some people had been paid to attend. They really had no idea what they were holding up and couldn't explain it. But as you surveyed the field of signs, it was everything from hands-off cancer research to Social Security to calling Trump a draft dodger to, I mean, it's almost like you could go anywhere. And it was a giant, you know, therapy session and grievances, real or perceived. And what stuck out to me was the range of everything, but something like hands-off Social Security, which has been very explicitly not touched. Not that there's an actual Social Security trust fund, not that the politicians in D.C. haven't spent that money years ago, but they're emphasizing something that has been a problem for a long time, and suddenly they think it's a problem now and it's all Trump's fault. But when you set that aside, it hands off this idea of, you know, women's rights, you know, abortion, and hands off the trans community, like such a thing actually exists. And but if you talk to the folks, you're like, what do you mean by this? And they really can't describe it. And the other piece that struck out to me really good was there was a sign that said, you know, IKEA has better cabinets. You're like, okay, that's kind of cute. And then you see the exact same sign in, you know, Providence, Rhode Island, and New York, and somewhere in Florida, and you're like, okay. These people are just, and you go to their website, and you just see they're taking signs and talking points all over the country and replicating them. They don't even generally have any idea, for the most part, what it is they're arguing against.
Do we even have an IKEA in Montana? I don't even think Montana has an IKEA. So, like, if that wasn't the first sign that tells you these people aren't from here, I don't know what it is. Because, yeah, I'm looking at these photographs, and here's all these people with their Antifa signs and their COVID masks, their hands-off clean energy, Trump's a felon and a racist. I mean, this was just like a cornucopia of crazy. To me, these are the same people that showed up for the gun control rallies in Bozeman and Billings, the same people that showed up for the BLM protests. It's just the same band of not-so-merry liberal activists that show up for everything.
They do. And, of course, they're holding up the signs about, you know, Nazism and all this kind of stuff, ignoring the fact that that stands for socialism, and that's kind of what they're there to represent. To me, this is 1917 Bolshevik Revolution in color and in person. The same kind of crowd, same kind of arguments. The working man versus the oligarchs, you know, whole bunch of messages about Trump and his billionaires and the billionaire Musk and all this kind of stuff. And you just want to carry a sign that says, you know, I am for fraud, waste, and abuse. Let's continue that because we all love it.
Because that's what these
people... see if they even notice.
Yeah, because yeah, that's exactly what they were rallying for. I mean, especially when we saw that... that all this money that Doge is identifying, the fraud, waste, and abuse, it's our taxpayer dollars being funneled to these left-wing groups. Everybody, you know, thought that, well, Soros and Hans Wiese and these left-wing billionaires were funding all of these groups. No, they just provided the seed money. The rest of the money came from you, me, and the rest of our fellow taxpayers.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you're a historian and you think the USAID has done anything productive and useful across the world, you're going to be looking pretty far and wide to find something. For the most part, all it did is create rebellion, create the hatred of America that in some cases we actually deserved. And so this it's like the blind leading the blind in government. I mean, if you and I tried to, you know, skip putting our taxes in or got engaged in something where we were laundering or funneling money and the government came down on us, they would come down on us really hard, but they're the ones that have mastered the art of it, and they're laundering our money towards things we don't believe in, and it's happening at the federal level. It's certainly happening again at the state level. So what are we really protesting?
You mentioned the oligarchs, the billionaires, the oligarchs. I don't know why they think this word oligarch is so powerful for them when they're the ones who are fighting for, you know, these rich guys like George Soros and Hans-Jörg Wiese and Bill Gates and Bernie Sanders. I mean, let's be honest. I saw a headline here that Bernie Sanders, and I've actually got a story on our Montana Talks website, Bernie Sanders, the socialist Bernie Sanders, is going to be showing up in Missoula for a rally in Missoula. And I'll bet $20 he shows up on a private jet. I had a friend in Big Timber send me an email already. I'll bet you he flies in on one of his buddy's private jets. And I think we even have the tail number that he'll fly in on. But yet he complains about the oligarchs. The real headline on Bernie Sanders coming to Missoula is rich, old, bitter white guy comes to Missoula again. That's the Bernie Sanders headline for real. All right, I think Darren Gobb is going to be able to stick with us right after this break.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The price system exists to allocate resources. That sounds like a line from a college lecture. That's because it is. And as those of us who occasionally lecture to make a living know, plenty of people don't like to be lectured to. And it turns out that plenty of people don't like the price system either. You see that emotion every time a natural disaster creates an immediate shortage of something, like gasoline or batteries. When those shortages cause price spikes, there are screams about gouging and greed, when really it's the price system doing its job. In the mindset of many, perhaps even the majority, prices should be low because we don't like the pain of paying for them. And when it comes to most forms of energy, that's especially so. Utility bills, gasoline, these things must be cheap. At the same time, those who take advantage of low prices to consume large amounts, driving big trucks, building 8,000 square foot homes, are shamed. And if you want to build a data center that consumes huge amounts of energy, you might even be stopped. I'm Patrick Berg.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Securing America.
A House Oversight Subcommittee holding a hearing Wednesday, which examined what South Carolina Republican Congressman William Timmons called
one of the most pressing national security challenges of our time. Cyber espionage by adversaries targeting our critical infrastructure.
Virginia Democrat Suha Subramaniam agreed.
Programs like Salt Typhoon are actively infiltrating our networks and gaining access to sensitive information and credentials.
That Chinese hacking effort disrupted the telecommunications industry, leading to data being intercepted from more than a million users. Witness Josh Steinman, a cybersecurity expert, said the vulnerabilities are far more widespread.
Those include transportation, water, power, sewer, and the defense industrial base.
Former AT&T Chief Information Security Officer Edward Amoroso warned that if we don't improve our defenses,
then I think we'll look back on Salt Typhoon as perhaps child's play.
Kevin Uretzky, Fox News.
spring.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Darren Gobb mentioned a great, he's got the Montana Sentinel, and he mentioned a great report, some more great reporting from Roy McKenzie with a website called Western Montana News. And he covered some of the craziness, the carnival of crazy that took place in Missoula over the weekend. But you expect that in Missoula, right? But Roy's got a must-read piece here about this liberal judge in Missoula who just shot down the bill that was just signed into law by Governor Greg Gianforte, a bill to protect women's privacy and a bill to protect not just women's safe spaces like bathrooms and locker rooms, but also it protects women from men invading the women's shelter. It protects women in our women's prison. But this judge in Missoula just ordered that law to be put to a halt. And anyway, the Western Montana News has a great headline. One gay judge just told Montana women their privacy is bigotry. Darren Gobb, I don't know if you, thanks for sticking with us here for a few more minutes. We're, normally we do our legislative update here with Americans for Prosperity Montana, but we're going to schedule that one later in the week. But yeah, thanks for sticking with us. Did you see this report out that Roy put out about this judge in Missoula?
Oh, yeah. No, I sure did. And I think that's what's, besides the obvious nature of the headline and what he exposes in that great article, I think it's important that Montanans know that people like Roy McKenzie and myself and others, Liberty Bell out of Carbon County, I mean, we're doing the best we can to make sure that a lot of this legacy media is kind of cast to the side and people pursue things that matter more than what they've been seeing. And this is an awesome story exposing a truth about somebody who, every time I hear the word independent judiciary or co-equal branches, I kind of laugh because I'm like, but wait a minute, if they're independent judiciary, then they shouldn't be able to rule the executive or the legislature, for one. And they're just using this sort of the third branch of government as a weapon against the will of the vast majority of Montanans. And I think it's time we let them know that they have an opinion, but they don't rule us.
Yeah, and the point about this judge in Missoula is like, okay, look, I've said this before, but look, it's not the fact that the guy is a gay judge. I mean, Donald Trump has gay folks that serve in his administration, but they're competent, but they don't push this radical left-wing LGBTQ agenda on people. But this judge, the whole reason he was put on the bench, and it's clear by his ruling, and Roy helps to expose this. I also shared a great Twitter thread over the weekend. I need to pull that one up again here. But basically, this guy was appointed to the bench by former Democrat Governor Steve Bullock, you know, who, of course, thought he could run for president. So he had to make headlines for appointing the first ever gay judge to the bench. And this judge, as Roy reported here, you know, says, well, I don't want to be known as a gay judge. I just want to be known as a good judge. But then you read this guy's ruling, and the guy, I'm not trying to be mean here, the guy is a complete moron. There is no legal reason. He basically ruled that well, a man's right to privacy is more important than a woman's right to privacy. That a man's right to privacy to go into a woman's bathroom or a locker room and undress in front of your little girls, that his privacy matters more than women's privacy. It's crazy.
Oh, it is crazy. And I guess the real sad thing is what you talked about briefly at the beginning was the greatest risk to all of this is actually to women in a variety of spaces. And then this leads, of course, into the constant barrage of men who can't compete in men's sports and win, switch over and become and go into women's sports and suddenly become winners, supposedly. And that's, we saw that with fencing over the weekend, even with golf, you know, frisbee golf. It's everywhere you turn, there was another one. There was I'll think of it here shortly, but it just seems like we're inundated with these sudden champion men competing in women's sports. The third one was pool, a pool championship. Two men competing against each other for the championship rights to a pool tournament in a women's tournament. So the people who should be standing up against this agenda more than anybody else are women, and they are. They are. But activist judges do not care.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. It was a post I shared from Jennifer, and she's got a big following here. But it's at Baby Beginner on X. A very activist Montana judge has temporarily blocked a bill that was signed into law protecting women's privacy in bathrooms, and she says the reasoning is spectacular. The judge found there is no evidence that it protects women's privacy to keep men out of women's bathrooms. And then Jennifer says, excuse me? What does this judge think women want privacy from? And then she goes into some more technical stuff as well here. But, you know, Darren Gobb, this is just yet another reminder of the fact that we need judicial reform. We need to rein in this lawless judiciary. And we also really need to focus on Supreme Court elections and district court judge elections, which is why, unfortunately, it sounds like the legislature is about to fumble the football on judicial reform if they don't get moving fast.
Yeah, absolutely. I think MontanaSentinel.press, I've done quite a number of articles about the nine senators that seem to have forgotten who they serve and are creating deals and serving deals inside the legislature that are against what Montanans need very clearly. And I've got a very detailed list of every judicial reform bill that they have killed by banding together and voting with Democrats. And we're at about half of the 27 bills the Judicial Reform Committee established over their 20 months of interim time between 23 and 25. Some of these are critical bills.
And speaking of the nine Republican senators, some have called them the out-of-line nine, some have called them the nasty nine, but now the Montana Republican Party, they issued a press release, I think it was late Friday, the Montana Republican Party is strongly rebuking nine Republican state senators who have frequently aligned with Democrats, creating obstacles for the Republican majority in the Senate. Montana voters elected a strong Republican majority last November, expecting leadership that reflects their choices. So the Montana GOP has now officially rebuked those nine Republican state senators. Your thoughts?
I think it's a great start. It certainly can't end there. It needs to be continued, and they need to be replaced at least. They certainly shouldn't have anything to do with the GOP convention in Helena this summer, any voting rights or anything like that. But most important of all of this is their constituents need to pay very close attention to all their votes. They need to realize that these folks are part of a swamp of Helena, and they're completely disregarding why they were elected in the first place. And they need to find good people to step up and run in their place, and who are constitutionally focused, who want limited government, who understand the criticality of judicial reform, and are just sick of watching politics as usual, regardless of which party it is. They're there for a reason, and they're failing to achieve what they were sent there for. And this is why people don't trust politics, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, and of course, it's caused so much division in the state capitol, and frankly, you know, it's interesting. There's various income tax proposals that are out there right now. But even that is faltering because of all of this division. All right, hold that thought. Let's sneak on Francis in Big Fork. Francis, what's your thoughts?
Well, can we sue these judges?
The district court judges here in Montana.
Yeah.
Good question. It's really a kind of a question, too, about how we hold them accountable. Darren Gobb, your thoughts?
Unfortunately, one of the sad things is you got to go through the process of either recall or impeachment. And again, you're relying on sometimes on people who have not been engaged or are comfortable with the status quo. I've never seen a lawsuit work against a judge, but why not try something? Let them know that we're paying attention.
Well, and I know, speaking of judicial reform, I know in talking with State Senator Tom McGilvery about the proposed judicial reform, I mean, one thing they were looking to do is broaden the definition when it comes to holding judges accountable, because it's such a narrow definition right now for for impeachment or other type of, you know, accountability, that it's far too narrow. They were trying to broaden the scope on that as well to try to, you know, bring some more accountability on that front.
The this goes back to last session, and when then Steve Gunderson was looking into the impeachment process, and ultimately, I guess the most consistent thing you can find in Montana code is that it's been written specifically to protect politicians and judges from the people, rather than the other way around. 4 years ago, I led a recall effort against a mayor and two commissioners here in Helena, and they used their own lawyers against us. But so the message here with our with the Montana laws is that, yes, Tom McGillivray, Senator McGillivray, is exactly right. It's ill-defined. The process, what we have to identify that would require them to be impeached or removed, and it's all about making sure politicians and judges are not subject to the will of the people, and they make it as hard as possible to get it done.
That's right. Well, Darren Gobb, great to have you on the show as always. Yeah, check out his report. Hands-off protest draws 700 to Helena's capital. It's at the Montana Sentinel. I shared it on X as well. About 30 seconds to go, Darren. Even though these protesters just look crazy and they're just fueling the crazy in the Democrat Party, do you think that the division on the GOP side and then the activism on the left could help the Democrats in the next election cycle?
Well, it could, but it could also help the Republicans identify better candidates who actually carry their values forward into the legislature. If we do that, then the other side won't matter as much. I believe what you're seeing with the left right now is actually fueling a resurgence of people identifying that this is just so insane that they're going to go somewhere else. And that remains to be seen. Will they follow their gut and realize that this is way too far off on the left side? And will Republicans identify good candidates and bring them into the legislature where they are once again?
Good question. Yeah. Well, I don't think the Democrats can resist the crazy. It's just who they are now. All right, Darren.
If you tied the knot last year, you may find that you're paying more in taxes. I'm Jenny Cosola with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
When married, your filing status is determined based on your marital status for the last day of the year or December 31st. Typically, dual-income households pay more in taxes married due to the so-called marriage penalty. CPA Bill Bendy says the penalty is no longer relevant for most couples.
The marriage penalty used to be the high difference between standard deductions if we were single or married. Currently, standard deduction for a single taxpayer is $14,600 and standard deduction for a married couple is $29,200. Exactly twice that amount.
Jenny Cosola, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So we were just talking about the nine Republican state senators who were basically excoriated by the state Republican Party. And, of course, the state GOP has criticized some of their actions previously before, but now took it a step further by basically rebuking these nine Republican state senators, Jason Ellsworth, Wendy McCamey, Gail Lammers, Josh Kassmeyer, Butch Gillespie, and Greg Hunter. And they've got the full press release on the Montana GOP website. You know, the question is, though, is what impact will it have? We'll talk about that and more coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. A liberal blog, The Daily Montana, and actually had some interesting quotes in it that we'll get to here coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the show when we open up the phone lines for you and anything and everything you want to talk about. But this was up. Really, this all goes back to the opening days of the legislative session when you had an effort, you know, so. Last November, the Republican caucus got together and they elected their Republican caucus leadership. And they elected now Republican Senate President Matt Regeer out of Kalispell. He served as Speaker of the House last session and then was voted by his caucus to be the Senate President this session. Well, then the former Senate president launched an effort to basically try to undermine the current Senate president. And so a handful of Republicans teamed up with him. Now, it started with, well, they wanted committee assignments. They felt like they kind of got, you know, they got shafted with committee assignments and pigeonholed and things like that. So it's like, okay. But then, as I understand it, an olive branch was offered, the committee assignments were shuffled up. So why the continued fight here? Why continue to undermine your party leadership? Well, then there ends up being this whole ethics investigation against Senator Ellsworth. He eventually apologizes on the floor of the Senate. He also gets censured and banned from the floor of the Senate now for life because of this ethics investigation. Well, you guys might remember this. At around, you know, shortly after the Ellsworth ethics investigation, you know, was underway, all of a sudden you saw an ethics complaint filed against Senate President, Matt Regeer out of Kalispell. And I think all of us saw it for exactly what it was. It's like, oh, okay, because their guy got hit with an actual ethics investigation. They now want to manufacture one against the Senate president. And it just seemed like a gigantic nothing burger from day one. But anyway, some of the liberal news outlets, of course, jumped on it like it was some big story. And so eventually the Montana Republican Party had condemned the Montana Free Press for publishing what they say are false and misleading information about the president of the Montana Senate. They called for the immediate retraction of slanderous innuendo about a private Montana citizen for her legal work paid for by the Montana GOP. That attorney, Abby Muscatel, with the Blacktail Law Group out of Kalispell, is now with us here on the show. Abby, thanks for being with us.
Hi, good morning, Aaron. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no, sorry, I had to go through a little bit of the background there so our listeners kind of had a little bit more context. But so when I first saw this story by the Montana Free Press and others, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, this was the most phony nothing burger right out of the gates. But they just wanted headlines to make it look like President Regeer had done something wrong.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I mean, this is just straight out of the oldest playbook, you know? The media floats a false story, it sparks an investigation, and then, you know, by the time the truth comes out, the damage is done. You know, Aaron, we've seen it before. We'll probably see it again. But I agree with you that most Montanans saw through it and, you know, realized what was happening.
So, yeah, there was I think it was a George Clooney movie. George Clooney's been back in the news with all these Biden books coming out. But it was a movie, I think it was Syriana. And there was a great line that his character had in that movie where he said, you know, in Washington, you're innocent until under investigation. And that's what the media does, and that's what the deep state oftentimes will do, is, oh, so-and-so is under investigation. Doesn't matter if how absurd it is. It doesn't even matter if you get cleared after the phony investigation. They just want you to look guilty by investigation alone.
Yeah, I mean, the punishment is a process, right? I mean, but you know, anybody that knows the president, they know that President Matt Regeer, he leads with integrity, and that's why Montanans respect him. You know, he's just the type of guy that will do what's right, not what's easy.
You know what frustrates me about this whole saga, aside from the split in the GOP and undermining party leadership, right? Because it's like, I get it, there's different personalities. You may not like your leader, but you meet behind closed doors, you hash it out, and you select your party leaders, and then you figure out how to work together after that fact, you know? And so, but that story aside, what frustrates me about this story is here they basically attack President Regeer and then essentially attack you for providing legal services. And it's not like you made a whole bunch of money off of these legal services. But here's the thing is, like, every single one of these state government departments has lawyers. The legislature has lawyers, but they don't. But these are, you know, these are government employees. It's not like this is the lawyer who serves at the behest of of elected lawmakers. And I just feel like it's one more way that our lawmakers are under this constant microscope. Our lawmakers are constantly undermined. And frankly, I think they need more of their own lawyers that they can trust going to bat for them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, well, I mean, you look at the legislature, it's a citizen legislature. Most people that are in Helena right now, they're not lawyers. And so, you know, they need legal help to make sure the bills they pass are solid and that they should hold up in court. We know that's an issue, but you want to have them producing solid bills. And so that's why for a long time they've been relying on partisan attorneys who understand the issues and kind of can jump in when needed.
And I would say, too, by the way, the Montana Free Press is welcome to join us anytime on the show as well, just like anybody is here. But so they you know, ran with this story, and in a podcast with Montana Public Radio, they took credit for, you know, a formal referral to the government auditors in this case. And, of course, those auditors have cleared President Regeer of any wrongdoing. But nonetheless, they were bragging about, oh, yeah, look, we got these government auditors to go after the Senate president. And so what's the latest? Have they apologized? Have they retracted? I know they've reported on, you know, the update. But again, you know, as you pointed out, the process itself is where they try to do the damage.
Yeah, I mean, the damage is done. You know, and seriously, what a waste of money and resources. The session is so short. It's only every other year. And these lawmakers need to be focusing on getting good bills passed, you know, bills that are going to help with school choice and tax relief and all these other issues that we're dealing with. And instead, they were spending hundreds of hours on, like you said, like a big nothing burger.
So have you heard anything from the Free Press?
No. You know, I retained Harvey Dillon's law firm. Just to see, you know, help me walk through what my options are. You know, I don't want to drink my own Kool-Aid here, but I do know that when you're looking at defamation, it's just like, you know, dragging a private person through the mud just for doing their job. Aaron, it's shameful. It's not reporting, it's targeting. And, you know, maybe I can handle it because I've got the resources, but my concern here is that more conservative voices are going to be silenced, and we don't want that to happen.
I saw Jed Link commented on the GOP's condemnation of the Montana Free Press. He says, ah, yes, the Montana Free From Facts Press. yeah, that was pretty funny. But well,
the Montana Free Press.
Harmeet Dillon, man, that was cool. I see she got confirmed, right? Did I see that in the news this morning? Harmeet Dillon got confirmed, I believe, to a key Department of Justice post in the Trump administration. It was great to have her here in studio with us during her last trip through Montana.
Yeah, she's an excellent attorney. What an asset, you know. But I think just stepping back and taking a look at really what this means for us in the state is that we need more conservative college students going to law school. There's so many opportunities for attorneys who are not afraid to defend the Constitution, who aren't afraid to stand up for families and push back against government overreach. I would just say, listen, you know, the door is wide open. We just need more attorneys to walk through it.
Amen. And same thing for, you know, people going into journalism or media or broadcasting as well. I mean, even if you wanted to build a common sense news outlet, who are you going to hire? How many people are there actually out there? Same thing for lawyers. Yeah, so great message. Abby Muscatel, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for your time this morning. Quick break, back right after this.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
This is the establishment temper tantrum reaction to something new out of the box that in the end is going to pay massive dividends for the country. Or we could just stay with the old established way of doing things, and that means America remains a sucker nation. That's your choice here. And there really isn't there is no other alternative. Either we stay strong, united together, and understand that we're being taken advantage of and say we're not going to take it anymore, or you just get the crap kicked out of you every day and get taken advantage of by people every day. Now, I don't live my life that way. If somebody wants to punch me in the face, I'm going to punch him back. That's just the way I'm wired.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Warning, inflation is back on the rise. The national debt is spiraling out of control. The stock market has been at an all-time high, and wars continue to rage across the globe. Experts are predicting a massive economic crash for 2025, and you should be ready. Will you sit on the sidelines and wait, or will you take action today to help protect your hard-earned retirement savings? Right now, you can get a free gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, where you'll learn why tens of thousands of hardworking Americans and even the world's central banks are turning to precious metals to help protect and diversify their money. Get your free gold and silver kit from Goldco by visiting HannityGold.com or calling 855-815-GOLD. You can even receive up to a 10% instant match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Don't let your financial future slip through your fingers. Learn why so many Americans are diversifying with gold and silver today. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. It was sheer coincidence that two of the witnesses before a rare public hearing of the Senate Intelligence Committee were part of the botched text chain about military action in Yemen. Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard and CIA Director John Ratcliffe were scheduled for the committee's annual worldwide threats hearing. But something else commandeered the talk of the town. Had the text chain about the military strikes not dropped, there would have been lengthy discussions about domestic terrorism and the threat at the border, how the U.S. was grappling with China, was there progress in the Middle East, and how about the war in Ukraine? Democrats have reeled since the early days of the second Trump administration, and then Democrats scored a gift with the bollocksed text chain. Or it was at least something Democrats could wield against the other side. They were apoplectic about the group chat. Democrats charged that intelligence officials were cavalier with information. The group chat story is here to stay, at least for a while, until another major story barrels its way onto the scene and rattles everything on Capitol Hill. And at that point, the new subject becomes the talk of the town. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah. One thing I wanted to do here, we got a quick few minutes here as we wrap up this hour of the show. By the way, if you got something you want to talk about right now, we've got the phone lines open for you. 406-294-0970. Let me see if I can play this right out of X here. Yeah, State Senate President exonerated. This was a post on X from several days ago now, but you know, we had so much to talk about, so much going on that that's why it was great to catch up with Abby Muscatel today. The Montana Free Press is under fire. This is from JIA Publishers. State Senate President exonerated. The Montana Free Press is under fire for targeting conservatives after the legislative auditor cleared Senator Regeer, Abby Muscatel, and staff of any wrongdoing. Retraction demanded. Hashtag journalism matters. Here is audio of Senate President Regeer during a press conference back towards the end of March as well.
But I will say the Montana Free Press and Senator Vance do need to apologize to the other victims of their actions. Our dedicated nonpartisan staff who did nothing wrong, but nonetheless were hacked up like crazy in this news story, and the private citizen, Abby Muscatel, who I know to be a person of the highest ethical character and has been baselessly defamed and continues to suffer harassment and reputational harm because of this incident.
All right, there you go. Yeah, that was from the press conference. I shared that via X as well. Let's see, just a couple of more minutes left here this hour of the program. Let me just double check what all we've got available, because there's so much that we can talk about, that we should talk about. It's just a question of time right now. Here's a rant. Oh, ooh, I got to get to that one. You know what? Let me see. I'm looking at the clock. 2 minutes to go. All right, let's do a random one. Since we're so short on time, a random finish to the 8 o'clock hour. It's a legislative news story here. This was a story out of KRTV in Great Falls. Montana green lights third-party alcohol delivery. You guys know how you can have, you know, food delivered to your house? You can have groceries delivered to your house. Of course, you've always been able to have pizza delivered to your house. Well, now Montanans will soon be able to have beer and wine delivered directly to your doorsteps thanks to House Bill 211, which was signed into law by Governor Greg Gianforte back on Thursday. Green lights for third-party alcohol delivery. The legislation allows for third-party delivery services like DoorDash and Uber Eats to transport beer and wine from retailers to consumers. There you go. It makes you wonder what cannot be delivered to your house. Like what is already legal for you to purchase, legal for you to consume, but illegal for you to have delivered to your house. I wonder what is still out there on that front. Here's my thing though, with these like food delivery services, have you guys ever tried to actually do that? There's some young people that they will have like a Diet Coke delivered to their house or a coffee. That coffee already is like $6 once you put all the other foo-foo stuff in there. Now you're spending even more money to get the thing delivered. There was one day I was just going to order like a sandwich for lunch or something, and I thought, I'll just get it delivered here to the studios. And I was like, holy cow, it's going to be like $15 just for a stinking sandwich. I don't even like sandwiches that much. There's some really good sandwich shops, though, that make even sandwiches pretty stinking good. But I'm like, man, $15, that better have some, you know, a lot of beef on that thing. Look at all these people who spend so much money just getting stuff delivered to their house. It's crazy if you ask me. All right, let's see. King Kai. King Kai Stewart. King Kai reigns supreme in Dubai. Wait till you hear this audio as Conor McGregor wraps that championship belt around the Great Falls, Montana kid's waist.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The price system exists to allocate resources. That sounds like a line from a college lecture. That's because it is. And as those of us who occasionally lecture to make a living know, plenty of people don't like to be lectured to. And it turns out that plenty of people don't like the price system either. You see that emotion every time a natural disaster creates an immediate shortage of something, like gasoline or batteries. When those shortages cause price spikes, there are screams about gouging and greed, when really it's the price system doing its job. In the mindset of many, perhaps even the majority, prices should be low because we don't like the pain of paying for them. And when it comes to most forms of energy, that's especially so. Utility bills, gasoline, these things must be cheap. At the same time, those who take advantage of low prices to consume large amounts, driving big trucks, building 8,000-square-foot homes, are shamed. And if you want to build a data center that consumes huge amounts of energy, you might even be stopped. I'm Patrick Parker.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.